Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hour three of 4.5 today on Grant and Danny. Get started on The Fan right now. Thanks for listening in and around D.C. or in Richmond. We appreciate it. Take us with you on radio.com. Shows presented by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today and visit BetQL.com. Every day at 4, we provide a Beltway Blitz covering three or four teams you care about all jammed into one segment. The Nats are on deck. The Wizards are in the hole. Let's start off with the victorious Caps game from last night. Samantha Pell covers the Caps for the Washington Post. Samantha, four straight wins, points in 7 of 8. Last night was a defensive heavyweight bout with Boston, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Brendan Dillon said after the game, he felt like it was one of their best defensive performances of the season. And honestly, I think he's right. I think the Capitals really held their ground. Obviously, you know, they went 20 minutes without any shots on goal, really, in between the first and the second periods. But I think overall, a really, really solid from the Caps' performance last night.
Sam, I think that win was important. They've won some 5-4 and 6-3 type games, and that's cool, but that's not sustainable. That felt like a playoff type game where a break either here or there was going to decide it. I know Pastrnak hit the post or hit the post twice on the same shot or whatever the heck that was, but that was a really competitive hockey game, and they won a defensive struggle, which I think is important for them going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think Laviolette and some of the guys after the game kind of said that the team was built to, you know, win different types of games, right? They're built kind of to win skill games. They're built to win physical, tough, gritty games that we saw last night. And I think overall, it was just a really big confidence booster for this group. Obviously, they'll face the Bruins again tomorrow night, and we'll see kind of where they stack up again. But I think you're right, a really, really impressive win for those guys.
That has to be what Laviolette wants to see defensively, to your point, schematically. I mean, that the perfect scenario would be that with more offense. And when they get there, maybe you start blowing out even good teams. But are we seeing them now lock in on being closer to what they want to be, having strung this stretch together?
Yeah, I think definitely they're closer to where they want to be. I think Laviolette said last night they're still not 100% where they want to be. You know, obviously they want to see more offensive effort there. But I think we are seeing, you know, the steps moving forward. I think, you know, they're, I think it's 7-1-1 in their last 9 games. That's a really, really impressive stretch for a team. And we're just going to see where it goes from here. I think after Boston tomorrow night, they play the Flyers 3 out of their next 4 games. Really tough opponent, all on the road. It'll be super interesting.
Evgeny Kuznetsov, how do we feel? Kind of checking the oil here. State of the Union on Kuznetsov.
Yeah.
Is he engaged? Is he buying in? When do we get the superstar?
You know, it's a really good question. I think everyone's kind of waiting for that superstar to come out of Kuznetsov once again. You know, obviously he missed 2 games with an upper body injury. He was back again last night. And Laviolette said that he was pretty impressed with Kuznetsov, honestly. He felt like he got better as the game went on. And I think he's absolutely right. I mean, with Kuznetsov next to Ovechkin, it kind of allows Ovechkin to be more of a playmaker there. Obviously, Lars did the best he could filling in there on the top line. But I think with Kuznetsov back, it just evens all the lines out. Really creates more offensive chances for everyone when he's back in the lineup.
Samantha, everybody keeps looking at the goaltending situation through the lens of when will Samsonov take back over? Is there a chance he just doesn't? Vanecek is not really giving in here if this is a competition.
Yeah. No, I think there is a chance that Vanecek is the number one goalie for the rest of the season. You know, obviously it is a battle right now. I think Vanecek has pretty much solidified himself as that number one just out of circumstance, right? I mean, he's had 18 starts this season. Capitals have played 22 games. He sure seems like the starter to me, but I think Samsonov's going to have to battle his way back. And, you know, look, if Samsonov gets hot and Laviolette likes him in the crease, it could very easily go back to Ilya Samsonov and net for the Capitals. basically every night, but I think it's going to be a real challenge to kind of find time for both of these guys.
Samantha Pelp, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your week and have a good weekend.
Thanks, guys.
We'll talk soon. Let's talk some Nationals, please. Our buddy Todd Dibas knows the Nats inside and out. Todd, thing or not a thing? Victor Robles, leadoff hitter.
They certainly want it to be a thing. They would love for it to be a thing, especially against left-handed starters. Obviously, all this is up to Victor, who has slimmed down some. We've talked about his weight a lot, the weight gain from last year, 15 pounds of muscle, which seemed to slow him down in the outfield, and obviously hit a dismal season at the plate. The caveat around all that is how much stock we put into what happened in 2020 and how much we're projecting off of that. So in Victor's case, he needs to get on base a lot more, I think, to hold on to that spot and obviously cut down his strikeouts. But they would be thrilled to have him up there because it makes other things stretched out so much more.
Todd, I was watching the Nats play the Mets this afternoon on ESPN when I could actually see baseball and they weren't doing 17 interviews with a vendor and someone who is serving ice cream in the stands. What are we doing here, Harry? Baseball's on. Please allow me to watch baseball. Anyway, I'm wondering, has the story separated itself yet? Is there anybody or a couple of players here that have stood out to you or been interesting, or is it too early for that?
I mean, it's always a little too early for that, I think, in spring training. But at the same time, you know, Ryan Zimmerman hit an opposite field homer today. So he's homered twice already. He walked. You know, I think that's kind of interesting to me, right? Like, he was gone for so long, and he didn't even do much baseball-wise all of last year once he decided not to play in 2020. And he didn't really do too much over the winter, and then now he's back down there, and he looks pretty crisp. The fun thing today was seeing the young guys, right? Cavalli and Rutledge, and even Cole Henry, who struggled, but second-round pick in 2020, see him out on the mound. But those first two guys, Cade Cavalli, Jackson Rutledge, I mean, those are going to be enormous factors in the Nationals' future and how they are able to pay people. So there's going to be a huge trickle-down effect whether they hit on those two guys and they're able to have some high-end pitchers at very low cost in MLB's oppressive financial structure for young players.
Yeah, they need to graduate some guys from their own system that help them on the mound. They haven't really done a lot of that over the last several years. They've been really good. Todd, John Lester, he's away from the team. I hope he's healthy. I hope it's fine. There's no such thing as minor surgery, but that's my own proclivity. What's the prognosis for him and getting him back on the mound? And what can we expect from him? A guy that, you know, time is undefeated. His stuff is in decline. What do you think about John Lester this season?
Yeah, Danny, the first thing, as you said, to be concerned about is just John Lester on a personal level. And he's going to have his thyroid removed in New York City on Friday. And then Davey Martinez, when he was telling us about this, mentioned that Lester thought he could be back in like a week. That seems ambitious, certainly for a 37-year-old guy coming right back and pitching. And also, they're trying to get all the starters 5 starts before the season begins. And after today, there are only 20 spring training games remaining. Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, Patrick Corbin, and John Lester have combined to throw 0 innings so far in the first week, and we expect to see Max on the mound on Friday night to kind of get those guys going. But it seems to me John Lester will be behind. What they expect from him is kind of, you know, eat some innings. It makes me think of Tanner Roark, right? Like, can you hover around a high 3, low 4s ERA and make 28 starts in that 4th spot? And if that's the case, then they would probably be pleased with that outcome, especially at his age.
Inside the clubhouse, Todd Dibas, @Todd_Dibas on Twitter is where you can follow him for Nats and all kinds of D.C. sports info. Todd, we appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for jumping back on with us.
Thanks, fellas. Be well.
Yeah, you as well. Let's get to the hardwood, shall we? Fred Katz of The Athletic on the Wiz beat does such a great job covering the team. Fred, tonight, 7 o'clock tip against the Clippers. This is a team that, even while Washington was rolling out west, had no problems with the Wizards when they last saw them. What can we expect tonight? Paul George has apparently labeled this a must-win for the Clips.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, the Clips haven't been fantastic lately, but that's a ridiculously talented team and a really difficult-to-beat team. I will say on that West Coast road trip, kind of wrote that one off as the one schedule loss of the trip. You know, all four of those games were difficult in their own ways, but I think that one was especially so. It was the second night of a back-to-back. They had just played the Lakers and went into overtime with them on the previous night. So that game was, you know, going to be unbelievably difficult to win. I thought they fought hard and kept it close through three quarters, and the Clippers just kind of ended up outrunning them and kind of out-talenting them. They're not going to be the favorites going into tonight. I think the Clippers, everybody would agree, have a chance at winning the title. But they could use this win going into the break because, you know, they had that stretch where they won 7 out of 8. And then the Celtics game, they're up with a minute to go and it slips away and they end up, you know, getting crushed by Memphis. And now they're kind of in danger of losing 3 straight going into the break, which is hardly a disaster, but it's also kind of a buzzkill considering how well they were playing and how well it seemed they were going to be playing going into the break.
That's what I wanted to ask you, Fred, is maybe the bloom off the rose a little bit. Because when you come back from this All-Star break, you got 5 games in 8 days and then a stretch coming up after that where you get six games in 9 days. I mean, it's going to be packed wall to wall. And, you know, the veterans are going to have their legs run into the ground. I'm just a little bit worried that this was a nice starburst or a dead cat bounce or something like that before the extinguishing happens. Just kind of give me your general thoughts, State of the Union here.
Yeah, I mean, what I kind of thought as they were going through the streak is kind of a similar thought to what I'm thinking now, which is I don't think they're the 6-17 team that they started with. And I don't think that they're the 7-2 team that they've been, or 7-3 team, I should say, they've been their last 10 games. I think they're probably somewhere in between. You know, you put it together. Those first 4 games coming out of that extended COVID break when they had 6 straight games postponed because they had so many players in the health and safety protocols, those first 4 games back, I don't really think those 4 games specifically are a good indicator as to what kind of team that they are. You know, they still had guys out. They had guys working their way back who hadn't played in forever and who were sick and working their way back from a disease that hurts your, you know, from a virus that hurts your lungs, hurts your ability to work out, hurts how good shape you're going to be in. So I didn't think those 4 games were indicative of what quality team they are. So you take those 4 away and they're 13-16. And I think that record, something around there, maybe treading around 500, maybe a little bit below, but something in that realm is probably more indicative of what kind of a team they are. And you know what? In the East, and with the fact that now 10 out of the 15 teams have a chance to either get into the postseason or play in the play-in tournament, that means you have a chance because they're not that far out of the playoffs. They're not that far out of the play-in right now. So I kind of expect them to be somewhat that kind of a team moving forward where they'll probably be able to pick up some wins against good teams and they'll probably pick up some losses against teams that you think, all right, they should probably have won that one. And that's kind of what we've seen of late.
Fred Katz of The Athletic. Real quick on the NBA globally. All-Star game coming up on Sunday. They're going to have the three-point contest before it and the dunk contest at halftime. What do you think of the new layout here?
I mean, you know, I'm very COVID conscious in the way that I live my life. So I get the jitters anytime I see anybody hanging out in any kind of crowd or going down to Atlanta for a week of partying or whatnot. So I understand the players when they say that having an all-star game is kind of crazy, not so much for their safety, but just for kind of all the parties that are coming in Atlanta and all of that to follow. I mean, you know, when the world is normal, it's nice to be able to spread it out over a weekend. I feel like what the NBA does really well, which other leagues just don't really do because of the way their all-stars are formatted, is they kind of command a weekend, you know? MLB does their All-Star game on a Tuesday and the Home Run Derby on a Monday for some reason. And you know, Pro Bowl is a thing people don't really care about as much. And what's fun with NBA All-Star weekend is people don't really even reference the All-Star game, right? Like the Saturday night events or the fun stuff. So I like being able to break it up. I'm glad they didn't break it up this year. They want to get everybody in and get them out quickly. And obviously the dunk contest contestants are pretty underwhelming compared to other years. But 3-point contest could be fun. We got a lot of great players competing in that. And I always enjoy all-star stuff. I enjoy the contest stuff more than anything else. So if you're going to play it, you might as well just get some guys in for a dunk contest at halftime because that and the 3-point contest are the more fun parts of it anyway.
Fred, thank you, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
See you, well, Fred Katz, check his workout in The Athletic. That is your Beltway Blitz. Three teams in town you care a whole lot about. I find myself a little hungry, Danny. I might have to go get myself a snack to make it through the rest of the show.
Stomach's growling a little bit every day. It's usually right around all the time I'm hungry. That's always, every second. I could always eat and sleep.
So what did you for lunch today?
It was only a few hours ago. Oh, I had some ham and some feta and some spinach and a lunch of sadness. It's punishment for a life well lived.
Oh, one of those bowls that you bring in and you kind of like spin around in a circle and you just pull meat and a little bit of cheese out of a bowl kind of thing.
And dumb spinach and just tasteless and sad and pathetic and really, really awful. It's the type of thing I'd be made fun of if we were doing shows together in person. And everyone would chuckle and they'd be like, ha, look at how miserable he is. And I'd be like, yep, pretty miserable.
Lunch wasn't that different. I had some meat, kind of like it's a pre-cooked sous vide like steak that I got from Costco that's just easy to throw in a pan and heat up, basically.
Okay.
And so I had that with some cheese that I melted because I just finished my whole 30. And I did that like a steak and cheese kind of without a bun.
That's pretty good.
Now, Allison had it with a bun, and boy, did it look great.
Yeah, it looked better.
I had it without a bun, and it wasn't quite as good. And the reason for that is because I didn't get to have the bun.
Right. Right. If you're doing a comparison, a side-by-side, you would have lost because bun versus no bun.
Bun just makes it better. Next, the free agency countdown is on. We will get to today's topic, which has to do with an ESPN list. Every single team and a perfect free agent fit. What do we think of the player they assigned to Washington? We'll tell you who that is next. Speaking of the football team, at 4:45 today, a former cheerleader who's leading the fight for the conversation about the cheerleading team being shut down, Melanie Coburn, will be with us. Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny are counting you down to the start of NFL free agency. They're spending 20 shows looking ahead to the start of the new league year.
There's only one good choice for you here.
What will Washington do when the player movement begins?
Excellent choice.
It's time to find out on Grant and Danny.
G&D 106.7 The Fan in D.C. 9:10 a.m. 105.1 FM in Richmond or wherever you go on radio.com. Welcome back. Thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate you being part of our little family here between 2 and 6:30 each weekday on The Fan. Question for today's free agency peak, as we are getting you ready and counting you down to the start of the league year, which is just under 2 weeks away now. We started this 20 shows out from free agency. That number's been split in half at this point. Who is the perfect fit for Washington in free agency? The reason I posed this, Danny, ESPN just this afternoon came out with a story online, the perfect free agent match for all 32 NFL teams. So you can go club by club and find a fit. The headliner here may have been Jameis Winston to the New England Patriots, who need a quarterback. Juju Smith-Schuster ended up with the Arizona Cardinals. They had Shaquille Barrett leaving Tampa Bay, where he had almost 20 sacks last year, and going to the Atlanta Falcons. The Ravens, who are quarterback-starved, go get Corey Davis. The Bills, who want to add a weapon for Josh Allen, bring in the former Titan tight end, Jonnu Smith. Speaking of good tight ends, Hunter Henry from the Chargers ends up in Carolina. Lavonte David, the linebacker from Tampa, is now a Chicago Bear. The Bengals are going to go get Will Fuller to help their receiving core with Joe Burrow. By the way, they got a really good young wideout in T. Higgins, so him and Fuller together could make some decent music with Burrow in the years ahead. Those are just some of the fits, and we can go through others. But for Washington, and again, this is what they're calling the perfect match for every single team. For Washington, they assigned safety Marcus Williams. Williams, who most people are labeling somewhere between like the 8th and the 15th best available player in free agency. A safety who has been with the New Orleans Saints, who's very likely to leave because they don't have any cap space. Since entering the league in 2017, he's ranked near the top of the NFL in every significant category for safeties. He's got a coverage grade from Pro Football Focus that ranks in the 90th percentile to go with the highest rate of forced interceptions. He's also a really good run defender with the skills to fit as a free safety, depending on the scheme he goes to. But this is what ESPN wrote about Marcus Williams to Washington. Because the problem I have with giving them a safety as their best fit and a guy they're going to have to pay a lot of money to, you've already got Landon Collins.
Yep.
And they just hit the lottery with Cameron Curl in the late rounds, and he looks like a legitimate player and a viable long-term starter. Now, those guys are somewhat redundant as is because they play a similar role in the defense, but they're going to have to find a way to coexist and to fill those two safety spots. But this is what they wrote. Washington would do well to sign Marcus Williams to pair with rookie upstart Cameron Curl and form what could be an elite safety duo. Williams has been the model of consistency. His elite play has allowed the Saints defense to use elaborate schemes, knowing they have the perfect last line of defense. Mostly played as a free safety, he also has some scheme versatility and doesn't miss many tackles in the box. He is graded above 70 in every season in his career so far, with two of his seasons surpassing 88. So he's a free, legitimately free safety, and they need that. It would be a great fit. There's no mention of Landon Collins here.
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to have Landon Collins making a ton of money, Marcus Williams making a ton of money, and where's Landon Collins? Playing special teams? Are you cutting him? That's the part of this that doesn't work for me. I don't know about you.
You can't. I mean, you can do some post-June 1st machinations and save some money, but it's still just an absolute albatross of a cap hit, of dead cap money. You cannot get out of this deal reasonably. I think it's an $18 million dead cap hit if you do a pre-June 1. You could spread that out, but still it's untenable. It's too much. I'm hoping they find a way. I'd love for them to find a way. I just don't know what that way is. I'm not smart enough. This is when the pencil pusher, whoever, you know, the new Eric Schaefer 2.0, whoever Ron Rivera brought with the Carolina area code on a cell phone, this is where the genius has to come in. You got to figure that out somehow, some way. But because there's a couple guys on the free safety shopping list that I would love. Simmons, Marcus Williams as well. I don't know. I don't know how you do this with Landon Collins there. And Collins, I think, can be moderately effective, but just not what they thought he was going to be.
Well, I think it's a waste of time. I mean, look, I'd want to ask this writer before I completely crush his work why you didn't mention Landon Collins. Like, are you forgetting that he's there because he didn't play the second half of last season and it's just not crossing your mind? Or are you saying they move on from him? I don't think you can pay two safeties, especially if both aren't going to start. He's saying Curl's one of the starters. I don't like paying two safeties that kind of money anyway. Look at the Vikings, and they have a terrible defense as it is. I think they were 27th in the league last year. They got Harrison Smith, who's a fringe All-Pro, and they've got Anthony Harris, who's awesome, who's got franchise tag last season. They paid that kind of money to the safety position. Look where it got them. You know, and now Harris is going to be a free agent, by the way. He's one of the 10 best free agents maybe on the market. If not Williams, he's the best safety that's available. I think PFF had him rated 7th overall, right ahead of Lavonte David in their best free agents list. So that's just not a position to me. Like, we debated, if you remember, when Landon Collins got signed, is this even a spot you want to spend this kind of money on for a player, let alone to pay two guys top-of-the-market money to play safety as your last line of defense? And you've got so much money you're going to be allocating to the defensive front at some point. that almost definitively means now you're going cheap at linebacker. We know that Ron Rivera doesn't really want to do that or wasn't happy with the results of doing that last year. So they're saying that's a perfect fit. I just disagree. I don't think it's a perfect fit at all. It would be a perfect fit if Landon Collins didn't exist,
right,
or nice wasn't on Washington. You know what I mean? Like, if right. they had Cameron Curl and Jeremy Reeves as their safeties and Landon Collins was still with the Giants and never came here, then, yeah, I want a free safety. I want a guy who can play center field and make plays and intercept passes and change the way quarterbacks viewed taking deep shots. Marcus Williams is awesome. I'm a big, big fan of his. It just doesn't work here for me with Landon Collins here.
Yeah, if you could find a way out of that, it's a different story. But I'm the way kind of positional value is trending right now in the NFL, safeties are the afterthought of the defense. It just that's kind of the way it is, right? I mean, middle linebacker too. I mean, there's some guys that are going to get paid that are stars. But for the most part, you're sort of just saying, hey, plug the holes, make the tackles. We'll have dynamic pass rushers and guys that can cover on the outside. Safeties, people are going cheap. And, you know, a couple spots here and there on offense where guys are going cheap. But safeties come to the negative recipient. I can't think of a better term than that. But they're kind of the left out of these big paydays at times. And I think it's just kind of because we entered a weird era where defensive coordinators stopped having these dynamic rangy safeties and concocted schemes where they're now strong and free or almost interchangeable and everyone's doing the same thing. And the amount of guys that, you know, are having their corners just bail, go straight back and play quarters coverage in different circumstances. I think the days of the rangy safety are over. To me, if you can get one, it's a tremendous advantage.
Yes.
And I think Jack Del Rio's smart enough to take advantage of that. So to me, I'd almost rather, if I can have a dynamic middle linebacker, dynamic safety, it may be blasphemous. I'd rather have that safety that can do everything as kind of that, you know, that last line of defense out back, plus a guy that can keep everything in front of him and ball hawk a little bit, than I would a middle linebacker that can fly around. Maybe I'm nuts there.
That's a good debate.
It's a bit of a hot take, I think.
It's warm, for sure. I mean, maybe it just depends what it looks like. But you're essentially saying like a Tyrann Mathieu versus a Devin White kind of thing, right? Like, mm-hmm. What would you rather have? I think I'd rather have a Devin White. I'd rather have that middle tier handled. But I don't know. If your safety is as good as Mathieu, as impactful, he's obviously closer to the line of scrimmage. I don't know that you can go wrong. I mean, if you have a great football player that makes winning plays, then who cares where they play, essentially. Mm-hmm. But it is a neat little debate to think about. I would clearly prioritize linebacker for this group right now based on what we saw last year, what they need.
Yeah, for this team, it's different. It's a good point.
Absolutely. All right, so then give me your perfect fit. If you were writing this story for ESPN.com and you came to Washington and they said, who's your perfect free agent? And I'm guessing we would both say Allen Robinson, so maybe you can skip that. But if they said, okay, you've got the assignment for the football team, who's the perfect match for them in free agency? Who are you giving them?
Yeah, besides Allen Robinson, let me throw this name at you, and I want to see what you think about it. Trent Williams. The hatchet has been buried because Bruce Allen is no longer here. Bruce Allen's cronies are no longer here. It's a new regime. Dan and Trent are buddies. Ron Rivera, credible guy. This is an offense that's on the rise. They could use an athletic, dynamic left tackle. Trent Williams. He knows where all the roads go. Trent Williams.
Why would he come back here?
I just said the reasons.
But
Bruce Allen's gone.
Bruce Allen was gone when he left, when he demanded a trade, when his agent was on with us last year and he wanted to be traded.
That's who the beef was with. All the training staff is gone. All the people that did him wrong are out of here.
But all of that had already been changed when he first met with Ron Rivera. He didn't like how long it took Rivera to reach out to him, remember? We had his agent on. Remember that whole interview? That was all after Bruce and after the training staff.
I do. But now everybody's been removed. We had some time. We have some wounds that have been healed. We have a guy that would fit, that's still got some years and some skills left. I'm not saying it's happening. I'm saying it would be a pretty good fit. I bet you it could go down. I wouldn't think it's likely by any stretch of the imagination, but if you're asking me who's the fit, I would say Trent Williams, besides Allen Robinson. Robinson's the one seed.
They need a left tackle. He's a good left tackle. So I'll take that as a fit. I'm going to go way down the board. You're going with one of the best free agents available. I'm going to say Curtis Samuel. I think he's a great fit. I think it's really clear and obvious why and how, right? I mean, he's been in this offense with Scott Turner, with Ron Rivera when he was in Carolina. I think he's one of the most underrated players in this free agency market. He had a nice year with Matt Rhule where they used him a lot running the football. Joe Brady getting him open, who designed the LSU passing offense that helped Burrow to ascend. Carolina went out and got Robbie Anderson, and his speed kind of changed the offense, opened some things up where you saw what Curtis Samuel might look like in an offense with a great weapon opposite him, which he would have here with Terry McLaurin. I think with the jet sweeps and some of the action in the backfield that Scott Turner likes to do, he is a really, really good fit. Average depth of target of over 6 yards through week 12. Big drop off from 2019 where it was about 15 yards where he just ran down the field all the time. So I'm not really sure exactly how they'd use him in this offense compared to how they used him in Carolina, but I think they would want him to go down the field a little bit. Curtis Samuel, I think, would be a nice little weapon for Washington to consider, reuniting him with Rivera and with Turner. And you know Ron Rivera loves him, loves him, some former Panthers. So that's something to keep in mind, too, as far as a fit goes.
I like him, and it may be affordable. I'm hoping there's enough of enough receivers on the market that you don't have to pay him true wide receiver two type numbers, because him at 14 or 15 million, I'd rather just go to 19 or 20 for a star, you know.
Agreed.
But if you get him in that 9, 10, 11, 12 range, I think I'd be way, way more excited about it.
Totally agree, and I think that's about where it would be. 12 to me seems steep, but like what it could cost. But if you could get him closer to 10, I'd be pretty pumped. And there are a lot of really good wide receivers, depending on how many of them get franchise tagged and hit the market. So that's possible, just in a supply and demand sense, that could be the number. But I like him as a fit. Melanie Coburn, a former cheerleader with the Washington football team, joins us next on Grant and Danny. Our 5 at 5 is just 20 minutes away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Alongside Danny Ruye, I'm Grant Paulson. You are listening to The Fan in D.C. and in Richmond. Thanks so much for making the show part of your day. As we talked about on the show yesterday, after 55 years of having cheerleaders, the Washington football team made the announcement yesterday that they would be transitioning the cheerleading team, which has been suspended, to a dance team. And so there is no longer going to be a cheerleading team when you go to FedEx Field for the games. One of the former cheerleaders, Melanie Colburn of the Washington football team, joins us now on our BetQL guest hotline. And Melanie, we appreciate a couple of minutes. Thanks so much for the time. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. And thanks for having me on.
Yes, sure. Our pleasure.
Yeah.
So I guess let's start here. I've seen you on a couple of different places where you've been on local television, and this has been over the last few weeks where you've got a petition and some different fights that you've got with the team and battles you're fighting on behalf of your former cheerleaders right now. So just get us up to speed on what you're efforting to accomplish and how what happened this week kind of meshes with that.
Sure. Thanks for asking. We obviously, it's been a crazy last few months, but it started in August when the Washington Post had an expose on the serial sexual harassment within the organization. At that time, there was an anonymous source who came forward with some videos that were made allegedly at the order of Daniel Snyder back in 2008 and 2010. Those videos were taken of footage from the cheerleader calendar shoots where obviously I was there. I was the marketing director at the time, but this footage was taken by the team production employees and turned into a TV show. However, they also took that footage and put it to a soundtrack of some of Dan Snyder's favorite songs. And again, you know, without the cheerleaders' knowledge or consent or our consent. And that sparked obviously a lot of controversy when that came out. A lot of these women, you know, they were cheerleaders a decade ago, 12 years ago. They have children now, jobs, companies, they're nurses, teachers, daughters, all of it, right? So, you know, they got together and they went after him and took it to, you know, they got an attorney and it settled. So that settled recently, which is where we are today and why my petition, why I'm pushing the petition, because since last August, the NFL has conducted an investigation through the Beth Wilkinson Law Firm. They've interviewed over 100 employees over the last two decades. They've come forward with different stories of harassment, of inappropriate behavior, and you know, my goal with the petition really is just to get the investigation released. I think that the fans, the team, the owners, the sponsors, everybody in the NFL deserves to know the truth. And I don't think that this should be swept under the rug. I do believe that the new hire, Jason Wright, Julie Donaldson, and even the latest hire of Petra for the new rebranded cheerleaders is all smoke and mirrors. It's all just to cover up what the underlying source, of the problem really is.
So
it's a whole lot of stuff.
No, it is a lot. It is a lot. And transparency is something that I think a lot of folks would certainly sign up for. Help me, a rube who doesn't know the difference, help me understand why a dance team is bad. Help me understand why that's not a normal sort of move forward that's kind of commensurate with what a lot of teams are doing at this point. Well, please educate me there.
Actually, there's nothing wrong with it, to be perfectly honest. What's terrible about the whole situation is how they let the former cheerleaders go. They let them go in a four-minute Zoom webinar, no HR present, no chance to ask questions. They did it on a 30-minute warning. And they fired they let go of Jamila, who has been there for over 15 years. She was a Pro Bowl cheerleader. She worked for the team selling tickets. And she was the first African-American director of the First Ladies of Football. And they let her go during Black History Month in, the same way. Didn't respect her, didn't respect the legacy. And to be quite honest, it's all convenient that it's happening right after the settlement was made with those cheerleaders.
And the settlement meaning, because when we first talked to one of the attorneys about that, it was headed to court. So that didn't happen. They settled, and now that part of the fight for Dan Snyder is over, essentially.
Essentially, yes. But those are just the cheerleaders that were in those two calendars. This is separate from the NFL investigation that
Correct.
The Beth Wilkinson Law Firm is conducting. That is still ongoing. Apparently, that report is either in Goodell's hands or on its way to Goodell. Obviously, I wasn't in the settlement. I wasn't a part of those calendars. But a lot of my friends who you know, were there. And, you know, they obviously can't speak because they are now all tied to NDAs, but I can speak on their behalf based on what I know. And I do know that the soundtrack from both of those videos contained two of Dan Snyder's favorite songs from his favorite bands that were referenced in an article by Dan Steinberg in 2011. So, you know, you decide. I mean, it's all pretty obvious to me.
Melanie Coburn is with us, a former cheerleader with the Washington football team. So specific to the news just yesterday that came out, and we don't obviously get former cheerleaders on all that often, so to get your expertise on this, I mean, in terms of what they're doing moving forward, how they did it, not great. We didn't like, by the way, just for the record, that it seemed like a lot of the cheerleaders yesterday found out on Twitter or however, like the rest of us did, what they were doing. But having said that, is this a positive step in the right direction? I mean, if whether or not they hired Jason Wright, if you think it was basically to spin the narrative or whatever, if they're doing things like, hey, let's have an inclusive dance team, let's modernize some of the things we're doing, is that positive potentially? Could that be a good thing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I believe that 100%. We've had men in the program in the last 5 years. They started the art team in 2019, which included several male sort of pep squad leaders who were in the stands and they were passing out T-shirts and they were working with the team as like a promotional part of the game day entertainment. This is nothing new. What Petra has been presenting in her interviews and what she's saying, how she's going to make it you know, more diverse, more inclusive, and more modern. Like, I'm sorry, it's been that. The cheerleading program under Jamila's direction through a pandemic, I mean, they've been incredibly modern. They had to be very innovative and creative in ways to engage with the fans and entertain. So I don't think that, you know, again, I think it's just their way of sort of putting a shiny new object out there to distract everybody from the real truth, which is the investigation that's still underway.
So, Melanie, the optics, I will say, I just was kind of get my wife up to speed on this yesterday. And the optics, as you sort of mentioned, it doesn't look great, right? If there was no backdrop, if there was none of the things that you were talking about, lawsuits, but, you know, this video that was allegedly made and everything else, this would just be a normal course of events, right? This would just simply be, yeah, they've moved to this dance team thing, as the Wizards did in 2019, or a lot of other teams have done. It's basically just about, hey, look at what's going on before. Look at where we are now. This is a response to that, right? Is that a good summary?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it is.
Melanie Coburn with us, a former cheerleader. All right, well, we appreciate the time. How can people get more information on some of what you're trying to accomplish?
They can visit our petition on change.org. I think I sent you that link, but they can always Google, you know, it's a petition to Roger Goodell for the NFL to release the report and investigation of the Washington football team.
Good information and a great segment with Melanie Coburn. This is a weird question to ask, but I've had a few people tweet, and I'm curious. Now, do you know what songs were on that thing that they did for Dan Snyder? Like, it seemed like you had information on that. Do you know any more info on that?
Yeah, it was a Rolling Stones song. I can get you the exact song, and it was U2 Mysterious Ways, and it was an Aerosmith song too. But he's mentioned, yeah, those were two songs that the Jumpin' Jack Flash, I think, is what it was. Yeah,
okay. Those two random follow-up, but I've now had several people hit me up just saying, what the heck songs would he request? That's an anecdote that no one else probably has. We appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melanie.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
Be well. There's Melanie Coburn, who is a former Washington football team cheerleader. They've decided after 55 years to move on from the cheerleading squad. Good to get her insight. You know, we talked about this yesterday, Danny. As far as the change that was made, the news of yesterday, I think that moving to the dance team is not going to be that different, because that was essentially what they had with the cheerleaders previously, was a, you know, a team that was out there dancing. They weren't doing pyramids and things like that. But you can see why her point is not this change that frustrates her, but how it came about and how it was kind of disseminated to the cheerleaders.
Yeah. If it's a response to investigations, lawsuits, and look at us, it's look at how forward-thinking we are, then, you know, I can understand the skepticism or sort of, you know, dubious intentions from somebody from the outside looking in. So I understand that completely. And to me, that petition is absolutely worthwhile. I don't want this swept under the rug. I want people that have done wrong to be held accountable. I think it's that simple. You've already heard some of the language early on, whether it's from Goodell or otherwise. Dan and Tanya have done a great job here. Well, have they? Since they got caught, or since that the organization got caught red-handed with something nefarious, where a couple people got canned for this? So I'm absolutely in favor of transparency there. I want those findings made public. I think that's a very reasonable goal.
It should be. Yeah, this is a club that a lot of people invest time and energy and money into, yeah. And fans should know what happened and what went on. Grant and Danny on the Fan 5 at 5 is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.